With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy, as we'll be joined by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian for a full preview. We'll also be hearing from the managers at Ramsbottom United, Atherton Colliery's and Ashton United, as well as the chairman at Grantham Town. We'll also be catching up with John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph, talking all things Corby Town, and of course we'll have James Hayes on too. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. So welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm Ben here in the north, and somewhere else in the north, we're now joined by the delightful return of Mr. James Hayes from the league, no less. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So, first things first, it's been, obviously, it's a momentous season for the Northern Premier League, a certain anniversary, and you've been busy in your NPL bunker devising a fair way of coming up with the top 100 players of all time when it comes to the Northern Premier League, and a list of 200 has come out this week, James. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, so we've released a short list of the top 200 players for you guys now to vote down to the 100 and for the team of the 50 years inside the Northern Premier League. This really wasn't an easy choice, to the fact where we were remaking the list about 6-7 times. So if the player hasn't been picked, please do not be upset with what's gone on. We've sucked every player. And a lot of people have, from the early comments, it looks very positive, and a lot of people have accepted it. But if you haven't seen the list yet, please just look through it and see the reasons to why. When we release the companion guide in the next couple of days, might even be out by the time the podcast is out as well, you'll see why we've picked certain players were picked over others. So
you've created a companion guide.
Yeah, like a little pen picks for each player.
My goodness. Dear listener, if you've got any complaints to make about this list, the work James has put in for this is it's above and beyond, in my humble opinion. You put your head above the parapet there, and just to make it all better with the people, we might not be happy, you've also come up with some notes alongside your selection.
So
should say that all the clubs have been involved with it as well, haven't they? It's all, yeah. just to try and create something which is a nice thing to celebrate the league's half centenary, and I think it's a lovely idea. And what's the next steps then?
You vote now online, and it'll be running for the next 6 weeks. So voting for the top 100 and for your team of the decade. The links are on the website, and again, for the next 6 weeks, for the next couple of weeks as well, we'll be releasing like a weekly who's who list on the news story, so it's to help you pick your finalists if you haven't done so already in the first couple of days, or if you're struggling to pick who you think should be in the top choices.
Wow. So, superb stuff anyway, James. Really is cracking stuff. So head over to evostickleague.co.uk. But we've got you on, James, to talk mainly about the results from this past week involving Northern Premier League sides. Later in the show, we're going to be having a fixture preview with Andrew Simpson, because there's some significant FA Trophy matches taking place this weekend in the second qualifying round of the trophy. We'll also be hearing from Grantham Town later in the show, as well as the manager at the time of recording, we've definitely got on the management from Ramsbottom United and from Atherton Colls. Now, James.
Hello.
Now, before we get started with the league, there were 3 FA Cup matches this past weekend, and obviously we did a big preview last week. We did a good job, I feel, of promoting the ties and really giving a punch in the arm to Hyde United, to Shore Lane and to Nantwich Town. But we can't escape the fact that they were tough ties that all 3 of our sides had at the weekend. And, they went to league position, essentially, all the results.
They did so indeed. I mean, obviously, I'm going to start with the Hyde game, just purely because of the facts, as he was, that people were heavily involved there. I think Hyde put a tremendous fight up until the third goal there, I feel. And what an effort they put in front of the cameras. Big Cam Suck and Luke Porritt absolutely dominated that game, but just a bit too far. And as soon as Evans Landell's goal went in on the 67th minute, I think heads dropped a little bit, and it was just damage limitation at that time. Moving to the other two games, Stevenage, again, going to farm is always hard going to a Football League club to play. Now, which I had it against them to begin with, and I think that was a game, everyone said, was going to be the hardest a lot, and proven so there. Finally to Short Lane. Short Lane were obviously putting the biggest fight up with a lot. They've gone into half-time at 1-0 before. Again, Danny Rolls just turned quality in fitness and obviously ran the game in the second half. All three teams put a fantastic effort in, but again, just one step too far, I feel. And for the first time in 3 years, we're not going to be in the FA Cup after Christmas.
A big congratulations, nevertheless, to Short Lane, to Nantwich Town and to Hyde United. A cracking effort. And we should say it's been an absolute pleasure covering all the FA Cup ties, because we've been covering it now since July or something, haven't we?
Last July.
it's been cracking, and I hope everyone's enjoyed it, and I hope all the clubs who've come on to the show, they've all added to it this season. It's been a cracking FA Cup season. But for this show, the FA Cup is done and dusted. Good luck to whoever wins it. I don't really care anymore. Anyway, that's the FA Cup. Like I said, later in the show, we'll be covering off the FA Trophy second qualifying round matches with Andrew Simpson, and we'll have some interviews as well coming up in the show. But the MPL Premier Division was taking place regardless of the FA Cup this past week. And, mostly draws, I do have to say. Altrincham against Buxton, we said that last week's show was going to be a bit of a tricky one to predict. Buxton have been in good form of late, and Altrincham have been in cracking form of late. But it did finish 1-1, James.
I think with Short Lane being in the FA Cup, they were the big winners of the weekend. We said it last week. Very tough tie for him to go to, and Buxton were willing to give him a fight. So, and Buxton, again, having to prove themselves a little bit now that they're capable of going towards the playoffs.
Well, we did say that because Warrington were hosting Sutton Coldfield Town, and we did say that there was a chance here for Altrincham to slip up, and it is 2 points dropped, and Warrington Town did capitalise at the weekend. They beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 2-1. So it sees Altrincham currently top, but only 1 point clear of Warrington Town, who are sitting in second position. Going to form that one for Sutton Coldfield, unfortunately for them. And I might as well mention this result as well from Tuesday night against Stafford Rangers. Sutton Coldfield 2, Stafford Rangers 3. Those two results there for Sutton Coldfield leave them 3 points adrift down the bottom. Second from bottom at the moment is Nantwich Town, and obviously they've not played a league match in about 4 weeks, and they've got 5 games in hand over Sutton Coldfield Town. So Sutton Coldfield Town must be looking at the team above them, and that is Hales Owen Town, and the gap is 5 points now.
It's starting to pull away a little bit. Well, Sutton Coldfield, the last couple of games, is just starting to get that little bit of pizzazz we saw it was in the last season, and again, they're not getting beat 6-7-8-0. They're scoring goals, and they are starting to pick the tempo up a little bit. Even though there's only one team going down, that can still go against you in some opportunities, especially if the fact, again, the likes of Aylesworth and Rushaw down the bottom at the moment see the opportunity they've got just to push forward. We've seen it with Staley Bridge in the last couple of weeks as well. It's out and out. Obviously, Nantwich, we can't really judge them at this moment in time, but sort of have just got to start picking up them results now a little bit.
We'll cover off more of the results down the bottom end of the table shortly. But as we said there, up at the top now, it's Altrincham and Warrington Town. But there's also the dark horse in the pack there, and that's Grantham Town. A fine result this at the weekend. Grantham Town 3, Lancaster City 2. And for more on Grantham now, we're now joined by the chairman of Grantham Town. Please welcome to the show, Roger Booth. So, welcome to the show, Roger. Before we get to the FA Trophy second qualifying round match against Kidsgrove Athletic this weekend, just a quick mention for the league form this season. Obviously, last season was a phenomenal year for the club on the pitch. Yeah. But this season, it's proved that last year wasn't a fluke.
That's correct, yeah. Well, that's down to our great management team at Grantham. I mean, Adam Stevens is in his third full year with this season. Had a bit of a season before that, so really going on to like been with us end of the season nearly 4 seasons. Adam's a very good young manager. He's got a very good right hand man, Danny Martin, who's a great motivator for players. And also Dennis Rubb, we've got a very good fitness coach, and we're super fit. Adam likes to play young players who are very fast. We play very fast attacking football. And that's what it's all about. But no, all the success really on the pitch is down to our fantastic management team.
I mean, last season, as we said, it was, I think everyone who you know, looked at the season before that, obviously Grantham Town were towards the bottom end of the table. And you came out last season, all guns blazing, playing attractive football as you did, got to the Duton final as well. What was your expectations for this season? Because was it to be where you are at the moment?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, we're starting out at the beginning of the season, obviously, with playoff expectations, aspirations. That's what we want to start out with. To have a decent cup run, if we could, unfortunately, we only got through one round of the FA Cup, but we're in the second round of the FA Trophy on Saturday. Because, as you know, that brings vital revenue to clubs like ours. But, no, the it's the league form, really, in the playoff places. That's what we're aiming for.
And I think the expectation at the club as well when it comes to, and we've discussed it on the show before as well, about the upturn in season ticket sales as well that are going into the season. It's you have bounced into this season, haven't you, as a club?
Well, what we did, we've got about 3-4 new young directors. Most of our board members. I looked at this time last season. Most of our board members were all retired. And we're all fast approaching 70. So we've got some very, very good young, mid-30, you know, lads who come to the football ground who are passionate fans. So probably the days have gone when you go out and a director comes in. We've seen what happens at clubs when these people come in for a lot of money and want to take it forward. It all goes sort of wrong and you go back to square one. So I decided the way to set the club forward was to, you know, get these young men involved, four of them, and they come on board and done a fantastic job. And one of them, Andy Sutton, who's like, he just become our general manager, the first time I had a general manager at Grantham. He wants to take the club over, sort of thing, on a day-to-day basis. And it was his idea. He did a survey of all the grounds and season ticket sales, and we decided to reduce the season ticket prices a bit, open ourselves some more. And it worked. So we sort of trailed our season ticket sales this season, which gave us a bit of a good start. And also, because we're playing some very good and fast and attractive football, we've also we had a board meeting on Monday night, and I think our gates were up about 37% from this time last season. So we're going the right way.
Absolutely. I mean, when I've been to the Selka Stevens Stadium a few times because obviously I'm an FC United fan, and in the past, and I think one of the things that the club, when they spoke to various people at the ground, were saying we want to get local people to the stadium,
we do,
as many
yeah.
as possible. And like you say, good football on the pitch, reduce the ticket prices ever so slightly. It all adds to a flavour of a club and a vibrant mood at the club as well.
Yeah. What happens on the field is probably the most important thing that happens at the football club, isn't it? You know that. People come to watch good, attractive football. But also, you know, by reducing the 1 or 2 prices here and there and attracting a few more people into the ground, you hope to, while they're there, they'll spend a bit more money while they're there. And we spent all, me and another director spent all summer building a new tea bar, the Gingerbread House, which we haven't had before. So we've got that up and running with a lot of the local support. We've got that up and running. That's proving an absolute great success as well. So for the first time we've got an outside catering hut that people can go and buy food from, and it's proven to be very... We've looked at all areas of the club. And I said, with these young people coming on, they've got no ideas. So you've got to let them run with their ideas a little bit. Some will come on, some of them don't. But mainly, most of these ideas have come off, and we're not afraid to try new ideas at Grantham.
Just to clarify, the gingerbread hut isn't made out of gingerbread, is it? It's not. It's
no, it's not.
That's good news. That's good news.
It won't blow down overnight.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's you want it to be stirred in the Northern Premier League. That's for sure. Anyway, right. Yeah. So this weekend, you mentioned the fact that, you know, the FA Cup run didn't really materialise this season, but there the FA Trophy run this season, and you've got Kidsgrove this weekend. What would a decent trophy run mean for Grantham this season? Because form is form, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's the cup or the league, it all helps.
Yeah. Well, a cup run, you know, a cup run tends to attract a little bit more attention, hopefully. Why are in these cup runs, like we found with the League Cup last season, although it's not a very high-profile competition, it did create a lot of interest. And people like to be in competitions. We're not afraid to play away. We've been drawn away as a kids row on Saturday, but we're not afraid to play away because our away form is probably the best in the league. So it certainly doesn't deter us from going away, playing away from home, because we still play our attractive football away from home. It's the only way we know to go forward.
Absolutely. And what are you expecting then from the FA Trophy this season? And what are you expecting when it comes to the league? Because the league is it's tough, well, isn't it?
Well, Ben we're expected to win the FA Trophy.
Yes. By the way, dear listener, the chairman's laughing, not me. I'm not laughing.
We have been to the FA Trophy semi-finals twice, yes, in our past, with Gary Mills and Terry Bly. So we have been right to the top end of the competition. So who's to say it can't happen again this season? We've got a cracking squad of very, very young players playing very, very well. We're frightened of nobody. So, you know, so we're looking at least for the playoffs and a really good run the FA Trophy.
Well, Roger Booth, chairman at Granford Town, a big congratulations for everything that's been achieved at the club. It is superb stuff. Thanks for coming on, Roger. And
Thank you, Ben.
I can't wish you more luck than Kids Grove, but safe journey over and a safe journey back.
All the best. Thanks, Ben, for that. Thank you.
Goals scored for Granford Town, plus 43, it's very impressive, let's just say that. You said Shore Lane were the big winners at the weekend. That's because they didn't play. But as we said, Altrincham did drop points. That means that Shore Lane are currently sitting in fourth position, 4 points behind Altrincham, but with 3 games in hand. So all to play for Shore Lane. Ashton United, though, they're also in the playoff positions on 34 points. And at the weekend, Ashton United travelled to Colville Town and beat them, James, by 2-1. So a good result there for Ashton United. 2-1 winners away at Colville Town. And joining me now to discuss the league and the FA Trophy match against Warrington Town this weekend, we're now joined by the manager, Ashton United. Please welcome back to the show, Jody Bannum. So welcome to the show, Jody. Just before we get to the Warrington Town FA Trophy match this weekend, just your thoughts on the league form. It was a very good result that away at Colville, and it sees Ashton United in fifth position, still in the league.
Yeah, it's been a good start. So we've only had one defeat in 10 at this moment in time as well. So including two cup competitions, we lost. We didn't lose in 90 minutes. Obviously, we lost on penalties and those. So form at this moment in time is quite good, and obviously the league position is reflective of that at this moment in time. We've just got to keep it going now. We're coming up to the halfway point of the season, and it's starting to take a little bit of shape. So if we're around there about Christmas time, then we've got to fancy our chances of being there towards the end of the season.
Now, nobody should have been surprised really about the Colville win, because it was away from home, and Ashton United at the moment, the away form is the best in the league, and that then points to Warrington Town that they need to look out this weekend. Where you are in the league at the moment, I mean, we discussed it before the Newcastle-Benfield match. Ashton United, are you in it for the long haul now, or are you just seeing how it goes week on week?
No, I think if you look through our squad, and obviously the recent history before I came, the club's been in the playoffs for the last, three seasons out of four. So, Paul and Stephen, the previous manager, set the benchmark and for this football club, and obviously hopefully we're going to carry that on this season. The playoffs is the aim for us, and I think it's achievable for us with the players we've got. I said on Saturday it's about keeping that group of players together now, because people are going to be looking at the league table and looking at top goal scorers, etc. And we're representatives of in the top goal scorers, and we're up there challenging in the league. So we will have clubs casting an envious eye over our players. It's about keeping them all together now. If we can do that, then I'm confident we can be there come the end of the season.
Now then, let's talk about the FA Trophy then this weekend. One tie of the round, I'm going to suggest. One of the ties of the round, certainly. Warrington against Ashton United. This stats from Andrew Simpson. I've not checked it, but it's from Andrew Simpson, so it's probably right. You've beaten Warrington twice this season already. You're the best away form in the league. What are you expecting from Warrington?
Exactly the same as we had in the previous two games with them. A really tough game. We won the first fixture at their place 1-0, and it took a wonder strike from John Pritchard from 30 yards to win the game. And we defended very well that night. Again, we scored a goal from long range at home. And I think second half, we took the game away from them a little bit and scored the second goal and deservedly won. But both really tough games. And if you'd asked me before the draw was made, I wouldn't have chosen Warrington. So it's going to be a really tough game for us. we're going there with expectations to win the game. Obviously, we've beaten them twice. We know we can beat them. And as you've mentioned, our away form is very good at this moment in time. So we're full of confidence, but fully aware of what's awaiting us.
And we should say as well, it's a good gauge of where you are in the playoff positions and for promotion this season, because obviously Warrington are currently second in the league. We'll wait and see what the starting 11 is in this game, because obviously Warrington have got a bit of an injury crisis at the moment. But then next Saturday you've got Barwell, and then you've got Altrincham away the following weekend. So it is a pivotal stage of the season for Ashton United.
It is. If we win tomorrow, or Altrincham win tomorrow, that game won't go ahead, because I think the trophy is made for that. So we potentially may not play Altrincham. If both of us lose, then obviously the fixture will go ahead. But we're hoping, obviously, that's not the case. But we'll wait and see. But yeah, we're coming up. If you look at the fixtures, we've got a decent run of fixtures coming up now that can really cement ourselves in those playoffs. Come the turn of the year, it's an exciting time for us. We are getting players back to fitness now. Our squad's looking quite bulky at this moment in time, which we haven't had. We've had to name myself on the bench, Simon Woodford, the assistant manager for large parts of the season. So to be where we are is a minor miracle, really, considering most weeks we've had 13, 14 players to call on, and me and Woody have been two of those.
Well, you do a good job though, Jody, to be fair, on the pitch as well, don't you? So it's
not anymore.
We've got a lot of fans on this show, especially Mr. James Hayes at Radcliffe Borough. But anyway, I can't wish you more luck than Warrington this weekend, but what I can say is a big congratulations, Jody, for the work that's been put in at Ashton United. It's been a cracking start to the season, and Jody Bannon, manager at Ashton United, a big thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks very much, mate.
I think last season's behind Ashton United now, and it feels like they have gone up a gear or four, I'm going to suggest, to this season.
Yeah, against another tough team to play at this moment in time. Colville just, in the last couple of weeks, come off the burner a little bit as well. So Ashton caught them at the right time. Again, I think the fact that they've played most of the top 10 at this moment in time at least once, they could use that to advantage come later on in the season.
Now, what a game of football this was at the weekend over in West Yorkshire. Farsley Celtic against Workington. It finished 3-3, but that doesn't really tell the story of this game. Two late goals, let's suggest, from Workington to take a point from this game away in West Yorkshire. Workington were 1-0 up, and then Farsley Celtic go 3-1 up with 15 minutes left to play. And as I said, it finishes 3-3, and well worth the money there for the 300 or so watching at Throstle's Nest.
Yeah, I think Fars are going to see that more as 2 points dropped, especially with the chasing pack at this moment in time. Workington are good, again, starting to pick up their pace. We've normally this time of season about lower mid-table, wondering can they, can't they. This time, really putting the pressure on.
And what's that, James, now? Is it 3 draws in the last 4 matches for Fars and Celtic?
It isn't. He's
putting points on the board, at least. But, like you say, the way that Workington came back in that game. So Farsley Celtic, they're in 6, 2 points from the playoffs. Workington, they're in 8th position, 4 points from the playoffs. Stourbridge are there in a nice little Farsley Celtic Workington sandwich in 7th position. Stourbridge at the weekend. We'll cover this up when we speak to Andrew Simpson shortly. But a 0-0. Against Witton Albion, and it's steady as she goes for Stourbridge at the moment, isn't it?
They'll feel as themselves as well. They've missed a good opportunity there. Witton Albion coming back off a horrendous league record at this moment in time. Just for them, fantastic point. Just to, again, settle the nerves, get ready for the FA Trophy this weekend.
Well, they're 3 points behind Ashton United, who are the last playoff spot at the moment, and they do have 2 games in hand, Stourbridge. So it's a point at home against Witton Albion, who, have been beating some decent sides this season. Now, where should we go to next? Let's go to Michelover Sports. Michelover Sports, I hate to tell you this, Michelover Sports, but you're fast becoming my favourite team in the whole league. Stirling Bridge Celtic 0, Michelover Sports 5. They're a right bag of tricks, aren't they, Michelover?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really saw that being a 5-0 game towards them. But Michelover are a team who can cause a lot of problems. got the capability of coming out of the mid-table and start pushing a bit further in the future.
Well, when we spoke to John McGrath a couple of weeks ago, that's exactly what he was saying. He said it was only, what was it, 7 points? Only 7 points in the playoffs, and that's very tempting, isn't it? And it only takes a couple of results strung together, and before you know it, you're up there. So Michalova Sports, ninth position, 6 points from the playoffs at the moment, but it's all to play for at this stage. Buxton are in 10th position also on 28 points, but they do have two games in hand. They have two games in hand over Michalova Sports, who are also on 28 points, as are Witten Albion, who've also played two games more than Buxton. Stafford Rangers finished the four in mid-table there. Stafford Rangers are in 12th position. And as we mentioned, they won midweek and they got a 0-0 away at Whitby Town. Whitby Town are currently sitting in 18th position. In 13th position, we've got Lancaster City. Admittedly, though, Lancaster City do have two games in hand over Witten Albion and Michalova Sports, who are just 1 point ahead of them in the league table. It's all much of a muchness in midfield at the moment. And Barwell proved that. They're in 14th position. A 1-1 draw at the weekend against Hensford Town, who are also in mid-table. And this is coming back to a conversation we had last week, which I don't think made the final cut of the MPL show, which was about, with one team going down, is there a danger that at some point during the season you'll just have a load of teams in mid-table who don't really have much to play for anymore? You don't really want that to happen, and there's a lot of jockeying going on at the moment, but all the teams in mid-table seem to be very evenly matched.
Yeah, so I think I've got to echo what we said there last week as well. I think these are going to be the more crucial games for Andy this year than they would be down, say, the bottom five, bottom six, because obviously they're going to happen, they come later in the season. Potentially, they could have something to play for. Whereas that mid-table, if they're going to need the points now rather than come March and April.
There is just one last result that we just need to mention. That's Rush Olympic 3, Hillsdale in Town 1. A very good result, that, for Rush Olympic. It's been a good couple of weeks for them since Liam McDonald's come in. He definitely has steadied the ship, to say the least. Two straight wins there in the league. And as we saw with Hillsdale a fortnight ago, they had a couple of wins, and that eased the pressure. And as we alluded to earlier, it's piled the pressure all on Sutton Coldfield, essentially. It's early days when it comes to the relegation side of things, as Rushall has proved, as Hills Owen have proved. A couple of wins and you're putting the pressure on someone else. So it is all much of a muchness at the moment. Anything else to add, James, before you go?
No, not this morning. It's all, except for the two results in the Integro from this weekend.
It's now time for the Integro League Cup Roundup. James, so what's happened then?
So on the Monday night, Owl Church beating the odds a little bit there, improving their scoring prowess with a 4-2 win over Stourbridge. And then last night up at Ramsbottom in the replayed game, Ramsbottom beat knocked Sailly Bridge out 3-0.
And later in the show, we should say, we will be hearing from Mark Felt, manager at Ramsbottom United. And we should say, congratulations to Ramsbottom United for offering free tickets to that match on Tuesday night after everything that went on last week or so with the floodlights, a cracking idea. And congratulations to Alf Church as well. And on that note, James Hayes from the league, a big thank you for joining us, and you have a lovely week.
No worries, Ben. Thank you very much.
So, very shortly, we're going to be previewing all the fixtures for this weekend in the FA Trophy's second qualifying round with Mr. Andrew Simpson. But before that, we're just going to take a little detour to Division 1 Southland. And joining me now to talk a bit about Division 1 South, and in particular Corby Town, we're joined by the man who puts the North in the Northants Telegraph, Mr. John Dunham. Welcome to the show, John. How are you?
I'm good, Ben. Thanks. I'm good.
So, I've got you on because Corby Town... They were drifting, weren't they, for a fair few weeks at the early stage of the season. But Steve Kinneyberg's come in as caretaker manager and they've gone on a hell of a run in recent weeks.
Yeah, they're absolutely flying, mate. Absolutely flying. It's unbelievable when you look at the way the results went at the start. And yeah, you were thinking, two relegations in a row, surely not a third. And they were right down there. And then they made a change. David Bell was sacked and they've put Steve Kinneberg in charge. And hey presto, you know, unbelievable run of form, really. I think it's last weekend was their sixth win in a row in the league. So And all of a sudden, from being, I think they were third from bottom at one stage, they're fifth from top and right in the shake-up.
And I believe it's quite entertaining to watch as well. It's five goals against Belpetown, but there's some other cracking wins we could talk about against Carlton, against Alvechurch, for goodness sake. They're having a cracking season, Corby, all of a sudden.
Yeah, I watched that game against Alvechurch, and Corby sorted them right out. They were really good. They played really well that night. So, you know, they've won away at Kids Grove. They beat Stocksbridge in Kinneberg's first game in caretaker charge. So yeah, they've beaten some decent teams along the way, and they don't really do clean sheets at Corby this season. You know, there's plenty of goals about both at both ends really, but just recently they're really in a groove, and it's really shown in the league table.
Now, all of a sudden, if you look at the playoffs in Division 1 South, no disrespect to those who aren't in the playoff positions at the moment, but the four playoff positions in Division 1 South, check this out, dear listener, Cleethorpes Town, Stocksbridge Park Steels, Corby Town and Frickley Athletic. They are big clubs, to be fair. And this weekend, there's a big game taking place between Frickley Athletic and Corby Town in Yorkshire. It's a big six-pointer, this one.
Massive game, and it's actually the first of two huge games in a couple of weeks for Corby, because they've got Frickley away this weekend, and then next weekend Cleethorpes come to Steel Park. So massive couple of weeks, and it was interesting. I had a chat with this week, and I said to him, what's the aim now, you know? And he firmly believes that first of all, he reckons that the title is very much Basewood's to lose now. I wouldn't disagree with that. If you go unbeaten, as long as they have done now, they've got to be heavy favourites to go on and win it. So if we assume that they are going to win the thing, that second spot is completely up for grabs, you know, with the second automatic promotion place this season. So huge, huge couple of weeks for Corby coming up, and they're banging form. We really wouldn't want to be playing them at the moment, because they are really in good form. They've got some good players who are performing for them. They've also, which is probably the most interesting thing from around this way, is they've got four, five, maybe six players who are Corby lads, born and bred. Brilliant. Who are doing the thing for them as well, which is great, because, you know, the poor form at the start of the season saw the attendances drift a little bit, and now all of a sudden they've won a few, and these Corby boys are doing the thing for them, and there's, you know, it's something that the fans can really relate to, so the crowds are going back up. So yeah, all good. All good down here, mate. All good at the moment.
Yeah, so there's a glint of surprise in your voice as well, and optimism, I have to say.
It's more relief rather than anything else. You know, I think I recall saying to you at the start of the season that, you know, all I really wanted for Corby this season was just to see them win a few games and people to have a smile back on their faces, because it really hasn't been the case over the last two seasons. It's been downright miserable at times. So to see them having this good run is fantastic, and long may it continue.
Now, in closing then, John, it's an obvious question at the moment. I believe Steve Kinneberg is caretaker manager. What's the likelihood of it being a more permanent deal or someone else coming in?
It's a really interesting situation, and I had a chat with the Corby chairman about it this week. But I mean, basically, the situation is this: that Steve was brought in at the start of this year from Kettering Town as the academy director at Corby. They're really keen to get these players coming through their academy, and also to get out into the local community, into the schools and everything like that. And Steve was tasked with leading that up, and something that he's done very well so far, something the club are extremely happy with, his work so far. Sorry, that's my dog playing with his toy in the background.
I thought, John, you don't have a farm. That sounds like a chicken.
No, it's all right. It's my dog playing with his toy in the background. I'll go in the other room. But it's a job that he's done extremely well. And when David Bell was sacked, he took he'd also by this point been appointed director of football. Steve had so quite a controlling position within the club, and he took the job as caretaker, you know, in the interim while the club reassessed things and everything like that. And of course, they've gone on this incredible run. Now, the problem the club faces, and the problem that the club, that Steve faces as well, is that, you know, the academy role that he does and all the work that he does for the community is a full-time job. That's what he does. So the club don't want to lose him. The, you know, the situation being that if they were to appoint him as first team manager, and then, and you know, in the belief that it wouldn't interfere with his other work, but then it goes wrong with the first team, and then they have to make a decision on him, and they end up losing him completely.
Yeah,
it's not something they're prepared to gamble on. And I also think that's something that that Steve firmly believes in as well. So at the moment, the situation is that they're going to reassess it every month and see how it's going. The club are obviously ridiculously happy with the way things are going on the pitch at the moment. They're very happy with the work that Steve does in the community and with the academy. So it's very much a case of, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. So they're quite happy to keep him going as caretaker manager. He's quite happy to carry on that way. And I think we'll the way things are going at the moment, I don't see it changing in anytime soon, really. So it's a perfect scenario for everyone, really, at the moment.
Well, John Dunham from the Northampton Telegraph, a big thank you for allowing us insight into what's going on. But really, there is only one place where you can get true insight into what's going on at Corby Town, at Kettering, at Rushden and Diamonds and the like, and that's the Northampton Telegraph and yourself, John. So a big plug. Go for it.
We have the paper out every Thursday, but we're online every day, up to date every day, which is www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk, and you can follow me on Twitter, which is John Dunham NT, with my 280 characters, and I will be keeping everyone up to date on absolutely everything as well as I can do. So give us a visit.
So a big thank you there to John Dunham from the Northampton Telegraph for joining us on this week's show, filling us in on what's going on at Corby, as well as a little bit on Division 1 South. We'll have more on Division 1 South and Division 1 North in the coming weeks. But suffering from sweats now, remembering Division 1 South on the other end of the phone to talk about the FA Trophy and the Premier Division, we're now joined by the welcome return from the Northampton Telegraph, from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, by Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andy. How's things?
You've just sacked John Dunham live on this podcast.
So I was only joking about Andrew Simpson having hot sweats about Division 1 South. He had a lovely time.
I had a lovely time.
Yeah, a mixture of Division 1 South, Division 1 North and the Premier Division, as we'll be talking second qualifying round of the FA Trophy in a second. We're also going to be hearing from Mark Fell at Ramsbottom and Michael Clegg at Atherton Coles as well about potential upsets in the FA Trophy. But just to cover off a couple of the matches from the Premier Division as well before we enter FA Trophy land. This weekend, Buxton will be taking on Farsley Celtic. Hales Owen will be hosting Shaw Lane. Matlock Town hosting Nantwich Town. And Michelover Sports against Sutton Coldfield Town. Now, Simo, I've already said a few things on this week's show about all the sides in action this weekend in the Premier Division. I've already put on record that Michelover Sports are now my favourite team in the whole league. Love them to bits. Sutton Coldfield Town need to get some results on the board. So this one's a big one. But it's a big one for John McGrath as well, because Michelover, there's a chance here that they could start to put pressure on the playoff positions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're on a great run as well at the moment, aren't they? Unbeaten in the past five, and obviously that fantastic win at Stalybridge last weekend, but that came off the back of a really good win when you had John on last, just after they'd beaten Farsley as well, wasn't it? So, they've got themselves into ninth place. It's really busy in that kind of middle part of the table, but they are making hay at the moment. Slightly different dynamic this weekend is that we're all just expecting them to cruise to victory. So they just need to be a little bit careful. But the form that they're in, they'll go into loads of confidence. And just looking at the table, they could climb further still if they pick up 3 points this weekend.
We've got Matlock Town against Nantwich Town. And Nantwich Town, I think this is their first league game in about 8 weeks or something like that. So interesting to see where they are at the moment. Matlock Town, we've said it numerous times, they just need to kick into gear, don't they? When it comes to that bottom end of the table, though, Hales Owen are in action and they'll be taking on Shaw Lane. And when you talk about Michelover making hay, this is a great opportunity for Shaw Lane to make hay as well.
It really is, and that's exactly how they'll be looking at it. I know they'll be disappointed to have gone out of the FA Cup, but still a great effort, advert for themselves, if you like, against Mansfield in the FA Cup. They have been flying in the league, despite it being slightly disrupted, obviously, by switching attention to the FA Cup. They had an FA Trophy replay against Ramies, which we'll come on to later. So it's been a little bit bitty, but if you actually look at look at the form guide, nobody has scored more points than Shoreline over the past 8 games. So when they have been playing in the league, they have been putting points on the board. And that includes Alti and the other informed teams in that, by the way. So, yes, they're favourites to win there. Halesbury had a little kind of spike where they improved, but have now lost 3 of the past 4 again. So still right down there in the thick of it at the bottom. So Shoreline will absolutely be favourites to win tomorrow, although Halesbury have, as we've commented on previously, have improved a little bit in the past month to 6 weeks.
And Buxton against Fazer Celtic is the remaining fixture we've not talked about yet. And that's it feels like a crossroads for Fazer Celtic. A win and they're back in the playoff mix. A defeat and Buxton are back in play.
Yeah, it's a big game, this, isn't it? And Martin McIntosh will be looking at it as an opportunity, yes, to close that gap to the top five. They're in quite good form at Silverlands, won 3 of the past 4 there, so they're feeling quite good in front of their own supporters. Farsley, just the merest kind of, it's not a wobble because they've drawn 3 of the past 4, but they haven't won any of them. So they've just lost momentum a little bit, but obviously they're not out of touch with the teams in front of them, but they will, you know, they'd be quite keen to get back to winning ways, but it is going to be really difficult for them to do that at Buxton.
But that's enough about the league. We'll come back to that on next week's MPL show. But this week, our main focus for the remaining part of the show is the second qualifying round of the FA Trophy. In a second, we're going to be catching up with Mark Fell, manager at Ramsbottom United, because they've got a big game against Altrincham this weekend. We should say as well, on the non-league show, Jake Malt at Altrincham, he's being interviewed. So if you want to hear from an Altrincham perspective and the cracking work that's being done by Phil Parkinson and Neil Savelle there, head over to the non-league show, also available on Audio Boom. Features some gobby called Swamper. Never heard of him. But anyway, so we'll come to Ramsbottom then, and let's hear what Mark Fell has to say going into this game. So welcome to the show, Mark. And just before we get to the FA Trophy, just a special congratulations, really, for that Integral League Cup match midweek against Stalybridge. A phenomenal 3-0 win there.
Thank you. Yeah, we played really well. Really well. We were well deserving of the result, I felt. And I thought we were probably potentially a little bit hungrier than they were. But in the same vein, I thought we outplayed them for the majority of the game. So, yeah, really pleased with that. And hopefully that can be a springboard for us to go on to Saturday.
And I don't want to keep you dangling. We'll come to Saturday in a second. But just a mention for the league form as well, because Ramsbottom United, it's all part of Division 1 North, which is quite bonkers at the moment because it only takes a couple of wins, doesn't it? And before you know it, you're in the playoffs. It's a very competitive league, though, this season.
Yeah, I think everybody can beat everybody, and I think we've seen a bit of that. Our issue is our away form. It's probably fair to say it's not where we want it to be. At home, we've been pretty much flawless. We've had 2 bad results at home, but other than that, we've won every other game. But on the road, we've not picked up enough points. And that's not because we've played badly. We've actually played really well away from home, and you can call it rub of the green or, you know, a bit of misfortune from here and there. But we haven't had, I think, what we've deserved away from home. But in the same vein, there's been times where we've defended dreadfully. So I suppose the flip side of that is you could argue that you get what you deserve if you don't defend. I mean, we've been scoring 2 or 3 away from home and still getting beat. So we've got to rectify that. But yeah, such is this division that I think if you can put a little run together, 2 or 3 wins, you're going to be in the top 5 or 6.
What was your expectations going into the season, Matt? Because obviously when you've got the likes of South Shields, Hyde United, Scarborough all hanging around, plus you've got the likes of Bamber Bridge, who are a really strong side, I think you'd agree. It's a very competitive division. What was your expectations about where Ramy would fit into it all?
Well, I thought we should have got a point at Scarborough on Saturday, and the manager was in agreement. I thought we should have got a point against Bamber Bridge at home. It was one of our defeats at home. Our expectations were that we would be up in and around the playoffs. I mean, we're not blessed with a budget that those teams that you've mentioned have got. But we still feel we can be competitive. We've got some good players at the club. There's no doubt about that. So our expectations that we wanted to be in the mix come the end of the season, whether that's for automatic or for the playoffs. Or I think we've got to take advantage of the fact that, and this is a lot of managers will think this, got to take advantage of the fact that there's potentially more places for promotion this year than there have been or there will be in future.
And that then leads us on to this weekend's match against Altrincham. It's a big game, this one, down at Moss Lane. It's a double-edged sword, though, isn't it? A cup run, as the likes of Hyde United have shown and Ossett Town. It means that you do lose games in the schedule. What's your expectations for this match against Altrincham? Because it's a tough one, this.
Well, it's a free hit for us. Absolute free hit. Nobody will expect us to go there and win. The benefit for us, I think, is that when we've played teams in the Premier Division this season, obviously we beat Shaw Lane over two legs, if you like, in the last round of the trophy, and we beat Stalybridge. We've played better against the better sides. There's no doubt about that. My secretary was joking on Tuesday that we should be in the Premier Division. We'd probably be top at the moment, because when we play Premier Division sides, we generally win. We won't go there with any fear. We'll go there with a little bit of belief. But nobody will expect us to go and win at Alti, you know what I mean? Top of the division above, and we're sort of 10th, 9th or 10th in the division below. So it's a free hit for us. We can go there with no pressure and go and have a real go at them. We're not going to, I wouldn't imagine we'll sit off and contain and try and frustrate them. I think we've got the players, your likes of Jerome Wright and Greg Daniels. We want them, Phil Dean. We want them to go and have a go. So we'll give it our best shot. It certainly won't be for want of trying, and we certainly won't be short of work rate, heart and desire. So, as I say, nobody expects us to go there and win, but stranger things have happened.
I mean, I was going to mention Jerome Wright and the likes of Greg Daniels. They are big game players, so it's the big occasion. Obviously, Jerome Wright, I think he spent about, 2 weeks or something at Altrincham, so it's a bit of payback for him as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and Sam Heathcote as well. Obviously, we've got Sam from Ulti, and we've used Sam as an auxiliary striker recently, and his strike rate's unbelievable. I think he's got 4 in 3. And some of them were at centre half. He scored 2 against Brighouse when we used him up front, and he scored again last night on Tuesday night. So again, that's his club, really. He works there in the week, and now we're asking him to go and play against them on Saturday. So there is a couple that have got links to Altrincham. Obviously, Jordan Hume has got links to Ramy as well, from an Altrincham perspective. So there's a few players that could make a name for themselves and have one for the newspaper in regards to scoring against their old club.
Well, Mark Felt, manager at Ramsbottom United, I can't wish you more luck than Altrincham this weekend. I hope you understand. But just rest assured, I'm a Lancastrian at heart. So thank you.
Thanks very much.
So Mark Felt there, manager at Ramsbottom United. It would be a hell of an upset, though, wouldn't it, Simo, if they beat Altrincham? But then again, Altrincham, they've never done well in the FA Trophy, have they, I don't think?
No, I've been trying desperately this morning when scribbling me notes to try and make a case about Ramsbottom are gonna pull this off. I mean, they did knock Shaw Lane out in the last round, took them to a replay and then seen them off. So, yes, all right, fine, Shaw Lane had the FA Cup game to repair to, but it's still a fantastic win for Ramy, that. The problem is going to Moss Lane, isn't it? Because Stafford have in the end, spoils it for everybody, haven't they? That brilliant win there in the open day of the season, it's really miffed Alti off, and nobody's gone and won there since. That said, it doesn't seem to really matter where Altrincham play at the moment, because they haven't lost to anybody since that FA Cup defeat at Shildon right back in September. They've been at 13 games since then, not lost any of them. I mean, even if Phil Parkinson rotates tomorrow and rests people and makes changes, Alti's second string is still pretty formidable because of the squad that he's assembled there. So it's an almighty task for Ramsbottom. The Shaw Lane result aside, they're actually not in great form. They've lost 5 of the past 6 in the league. And I think I'm right in saying they've not won any away games yet this season either. So that's the scale of the task that is against them tomorrow. I mean, it would be an almighty, almighty upset. But if Alti take their eye off the ball, I suppose you never know, but I just cannot see it. If they can get them to replay, that might change the dynamic. That would be a great result, but obviously Alti are massive favourites.
Just to say, we did say there with Matt Fell, they have got some big game players in Jerome Wright and Greg Daniels and the like. So stranger things have happened, to be fair.
Indeed.
We're going to do this in alphabetical order, we should say, so we're showing a bit of fairness. Alvechurch against Colville Town. Alvechurch, at the moment, are leading a crazy division, because Basford United are 7 points clear up at the top of Division 1 South. But Alvechurch are the team in second at the moment, on top of a pile of big clubs, all within shooting range of them, but they are out in front. However, Colville haven't had the best of forms of late. So there's an upset potential there, isn't there?
Definitely a chance, yeah. I mean, Colville might be just glad of a respite from the league. They've lost seven of the past eight. I mean, we previewed their game when they played Witten at home a couple of months ago, and it feels like a lifetime ago now, because that was, what, first v second or second v third or something like that. And Colville have been on a terrible run of form since then. So it might be that they're just glad of a breather from the league, but that might be tempered by the fact that they say they're going to an Aldershot side in completely contrasting form, won five of the past six in the league. And also, if you remember earlier this season, had that brilliant win at Grantham in the FA Cup. So they're not frightened by Northern Premier League sides either. And then they ran Buxton really close in the next round of the FA Cup before bowing out. So they will definitely fancy it. And I think they may well be slight favourites. Yeah, I think we might see an upset there.
Now then, next up, Atherton Colls against Marin. Is there an upset in this one? Well, on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Atherton Colliery's. Here is Michael Clegg. So joining us now, it's the manager at Atherton Colls. It's Michael Clegg. Hello, Michael. How's things?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So we'll get to Marin in a second or two, but how have you settled in this season?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a frustrating one, really, because we've done well against some of the big sides, and we've just been a bit inconsistent, really. And obviously, a lot of teams do a lot more research and stuff, and like anyone, we've had injuries, suspensions and things like that. But I feel like when we've had our strong 11s out, we've done really, really well.
And what do you think the main differences are between the North West Counties and NPL Division 1 North? I mean, we've seen the likes of Glossop North End come up and do quite well, and Cone, as well as Tadcaster from the east side of the Pennines. What are the main differences, do you feel?
I think, obviously, you've got to be on it every game. You know, I think with how strong the sides, what you've just mentioned, are, I think, you know, in the leagues below, they can sometimes have a bit of a bad day and still scrape a result, where I think that doesn't really happen at this level. You know, if you turn up and you're not on it, you're getting beat. It's physically demanding, you know, with the games and what have you. But we have really, really enjoyed it. You know, we've let ourselves down on a couple of occasions, but on a whole, we could be doing better, but we're not too disappointed.
And we have spoke to a fair few managers from Division 1 North this season, and we've spoke about how bonkers it is as a division, because admittedly you're in 17th at the moment, but there's not too much of a gap up towards the playoff positions at the moment with games in hand. It is a crackers division. It only takes a run of two or three wins and you'd be right back up there again.
Well, that's it, yeah, and that's kind of the drum we've been beating with our lads, you know, that we need to find a bit of consistency. There's not a time where we've won three on the bounce this season, there is. We beat Skem in the Cup, then Goole, and then Kendal, but like you said, two of them were in different cup competitions, squeezed in between a league game, so we've found it hard to find rhythm in the league. We're on not bad little run at the moment, and it's just about getting that consistency and what have you. And I think that'll just come in time, really.
Now, we did come down to Atherton Colls and spoke to Gibbo. I think you were playing Kendal early in the season, and it was a very competitive game. And the setup at Atherton Colls as well, it just feel like a club that's well suited to this level. And you know, it was not beyond all the realms of possibility of the level above.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is I come in 4 years ago and we was in Division 1, and they wanted us to be out of that within 3 years, and then we got out of that in a year, and then we quickly made some adjustments around off the pitch in terms of the clubhouse, the changing rooms and what have you, and then we went and did well in the Prem, and we were competing all the way for that league till the last 3 weeks when it fizzled out, and then so we had to go through ground grading again, so more things got done. And then obviously last year I think we ended up winning 24 out of 26 games towards the end of the season, which was just phenomenal form. And then we did even more around the pitch, but I don't think we ever really believed we'd get here. And that's kind of what's happened this year. You know, I'll be dead honest, last year I didn't go out watching Evo Stip games, didn't have time. We had a North West Counties to win and my full attention were paid to that. So this year we've kind of playing catch up, getting out, watching as many games as we can, getting familiar with players, getting familiar with formations and shapes, and trying to do all we can to make a fist of it this year. But think this year is all about learning, gaining experience as staff, as players, as a club, and then hopefully surviving and having a good go next year.
Now, this weekend, though, it's the FA Trophy, and you've got Marine coming to town. Big banana skin, this one, for Marine, I feel. What are you expecting from Marine, and what are you expecting from the FA Trophy this season?
Well, you know, again, we're taking a game at a time, but, you know, I'd be lying when I seen the Stocksbridge draw and then the winner got Radcliffe or Kendal. I thought, you know, it's a real chance for us because on our day, I think we can beat them sides. Well, they it'd have been a good draw for Kendal as well. They thought they would have got past us. But I think from the goal in the trophy, we've thought, you know what, if we knuckle down in them couple of games, we can have a good run. And then obviously with Drew Marine, you know, you've got to give them respect. They've got some good players there. They've had some good results this season. They've had some bad results this season. And I think it'll be a game they're looking at that they can come and win. But obviously, we'll be looking to cause an upset on Saturday. And they won't be coming away from Everton Coles with an easy 90 minutes. And I know their assistant manager, and I read some of his notes this week, and he said exactly the same. They know it's not going to be easy. And I think we'll give them respect. They'll give us respect. And I think it'll be a right ding-dong on Saturday, to be honest.
Well, Michael Clegg, manager at Everton Coles, a big thank you for joining us this week on the MPL show. I can, unfortunately, wish you more luck than Marine, but we hope football's the winner. And certainly, whenever I've gone to Alder Street in the past, Pies are certainly the winner. So thank you for coming on, Michael.
Thank you.
And good luck this weekend. So Michael Clegg there, manager at Everton Coles, joining us this week on the MPL show. They're hosting Marine. If the weather keeps up, just something else to throw in the mix there, you know, with the wind blowing and that kind of thing. And Marine aren't pulling too many trees up in the Premier at the moment.
Slope on the pitch.
Yeah, and all that. Hot Vimto being thrown on the pitch, pies, peas in the air, that kind of thing.
Real cauldron. No, I think if Coles do fancy this, I think they should do, by the way. They're just adjusting okay to life in Division 1 North, aren't they? Although what I would say is they've probably saved their best performances of the season for knockout games. I mean, they had a great win at Cleethorpes earlier this season in the FA Cup. They've also won really well at Stocksbridge in the knockout game this season and beat Kendal comfortably away in the last round of the FA Trophy. So even though if you look at their league form, it's not great, lost three of the past four, they can still take heart from the fact that Marine, yes, are having a pretty difficult season overall, but they don't travel well either. They've lost four of the past five games away from home in the league, so they're not in great shakes on the road. I think Cole's best chance is to win at the weekend. Obviously, Marine would then become favourites if they did go to a replay over on Merseyside. But again, like the Alvechurch one, I think there's a chance here that Coles can cause an upset.
Now, it's now time here on the MPL show for our new regular feature. Where's that then? Barwell against Mildenhall Town. First question, Simo. Where's Mildenhall Town?
It's in Bury St Edmunds. I did have to look it up. I can't claim to know that. They play one level lower than Barwell in the Bostic North, and they're halfway in the league this season, so I've done a little bit of homework on them.
Should be comfortable, Barwell, then, do you think, for Jimmy Ginnelly?
I think so. They've lost a little bit of momentum in the league, no win in the past five, but they're still in that kind of massive pack of teams in the middle of the league. Nothing to worry about. They're still having a very decent season. They're still pretty strong at home. Mildenhall are in pretty rotten form. No win in the past six. Like I said, they're middle of the table. One thing I would say, though, they had a brilliant win against Kings Lynn in the last round.
Really?
So,
Kings Lynn are flying, aren't they, in Southern League? Yeah.
Exactly. So that will give them a lot of heart. But I still think Barwell, it'd still be a major surprise to me if Barwell don't get the job done this weekend.
It would also be, I think, a major surprise if Workington slip up against Chasetown. It is an away game, though. Chasetown did get a win, I think, against Market Drayton in their last outing. Workington, they're going to be buoyed by that 3-0 draw against Farsley, I think.
Yeah, Workington have really got their act together, haven't they? They had a fantastic win against Witten in the last round, beat them 4-0 as well. So it just kind of adds, you know, they've been good form in the league, but they're also racking up the wins in the cup as well. Only lost one of the past eight league games when I had a look this morning. Chasetown, I thought they'd be a little bit higher. Obviously, I'm dipping in and out of Division 1 South this season. So when I was studying it again this morning, I expected them to be a little bit higher than they are. They're still pretty difficult to beat at home, though. They've only lost one home game this season. So, you know, they're not going to be a walkover for Workington. They had a good win against Spalding as well in the last round. I think it'll be close, but yes, you would expect Workington to prevail.
And we should say there is someone at the helm at Chasetown who's pretty capable in cup matches and cup games.
Absolutely right. So, yeah, Scott Dundas knows how to win a cup game and go on a cup run.
Exactly. Right, so next up, Glossop North End against Leek Town. Leek Town did a cracking job in the last round, we have to say.
Yeah.
Glossop North End have...
They did as well. Yeah, they beat Matlock.
Yeah, so. To be fair, yeah. And Glossop North End at the moment are in a posse of teams in the playoffs in Division 1 North. I mean, to talk about the playoff positions, and look at that top six in Division 1 North at the moment. South Shields, Bamber Bridge, Scarborough, Glossop, Hyde and Prescott Cables. Blimey, Charlie, you wouldn't want to get involved in that. And there's a fair number of teams below them.
Just underneath, all looking
to get involved in that. What do you reckon for this one then? North East South?
I think this is going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be really tight. Glossop, traditionally strong at home, and that's not been any different this season. Only one defeat at home in the league. But Leek, again, are dipping into Division 1 South. They are about probably where I expect them to be, similar position to last season. That said... They have been much better on the road this season. Won 4 of the 7 away games. Had that brilliant win against Kettering in the last round. So I think this will be really close. And at the risk of sounding like Mark Carruthers last week, it might be a replay.
A little dig there like that. Inter-pundit banter. Right. Hensford Town against Cleethorpes Town. This one's an intriguing one because Cleethorpes Town at the moment, we mentioned the playoff positions in Division 1 North. We've already touched upon it with John Dunham. Cleethorpes, Stocksbridge, Corby and Frickley are currently in the playoffs in Division 1 South. Cleethorpes Town, though, they've really, you know, they're a club, it feels like, are going to be going places over the next 5 years or so in the non-league scene. What do you think here? This one, it's a bit tricky, this for Hensford, isn't it?
This is going to be a little bit tricky for Hensford. They have picked up under Rob Smith. He's still obviously a team in transition because a lot of changing since he came in and replaced Neil Tooth as manager earlier in the season. They are in the bottom half still of the Premier Division, but not out of touch with those just in front of them. What they are, or what he has done, is they've been pretty difficult to beat at Keys Park. And I had a look this morning, they've 18 of their 26 points they've picked up at home. So they feel more comfortable there. But Cleethorpes... I've had a couple of notable cup wins this season. They've beaten Buxton in the FA Trophy, and also they've beaten Hyde in the FA Trophy, and Hyde are having a great season, as we well know. So they won't be frightened of going over there, but it is a difficult place to go and win at the moment. This is going to be really, really close, but I think Hensford will just have too much for them.
Now, obviously, we had Roger Booth on, chairman at Grantham Town, earlier in the show, so we did show a lot of love to Grantham, and why wouldn't we show love to Grantham at the moment?
Yeah.
They're doing cracking things in the Premier. So, just a perspective of Kidsgrove Athletic. They are mid-table in Division 1 South. They are 7 points from the playoff positions. They do have a game in hand over Frickley. It is much of a muchness in mid-table in Division 1 South. Is there any hope for them this weekend against Grantham?
There's some hope. Like you mentioned, with a couple of teams, some of their best performances this season have been in knockout competitions. They had a brilliant win away to Rushden earlier in the FA Trophy this season. Probably their best result of the season, I think. They're a little bit out of sorts in the league, lost 4 of the past 5, which is why they've slipped slightly, because they were doing a little bit better this time last month. Obviously, they've run into a Grantham team that, as I'm sure you've touched on, is having a brilliant season. To put that into its wider context, they're in great form as well, because only Altrincham and Shorelane have scored more points than them in the last 10 games, so they are absolutely flying. Kidsgrove, not an easy place to go, by the way, and they do score lots of goals, so I don't think it'll be easy, but it would be an upset, of course, because Kidsgrove have proven they are capable.
Now, Lancaster City against Stratford Town from that there Southern League. Lancaster City nailed on here, aren't they? No problem.
I think they should be fine. We have come across Stratford this season, haven't we? Have an epic FA Cup game against Scarborough, which went to a replay. Scarborough, that brilliant win down there midweek, didn't they, in that replay. Lancaster, it's a bit of a funny one, because it feels to me like they're having a better season than the league table suggests they are. They've lost 3 of the past 4 in the league, which is probably why they've slipped slightly. But the reason why, like you, I'm not remotely worried about them tomorrow is that nobody has beaten them at the Giant Axe this season in any competition. And Stratford have lost their past 5 away games. So Lancaster are going to get through.
St. Neots Town against Stourbridge. And Stourbridge have been all right. Ticking over, haven't they?
Yeah.
It feels like they've been ticking over for months. But look where they are in the league. They comparatively with the Southern League, they're ahead of St. Neots.
They are, and I do really feel for Gary Hackett, because he's, you know, he had his best players taken away over the summer, and they went off to Solihull, most of them, and he had a little bit of a rebuild to do. He started that. He had Jordan Archer's really come to the fore in the start of the season, had a brilliant start to the season. He gets pilfered by Chester. He's lost another couple of players as well. So he's in like another rebuild in the middle of the season. And those new players are just bedding in. He will be made up to have got Luke Bembo back on loan, although I'm not sure he'll have been given permission to play in the FA Trophy this weekend. They may not need him, like you say, to beat St. Neots. St. Neots, though, they, again, the team I would expect to be higher, considering they've only lost one of the last 10 league games. So they're actually pretty tough to beat at the moment. Stour travel really well, by the way. Six of the seven away games this season they've won. So I think they'll get through. But I just wonder if, again, losing the players that they have, well, that'd be interesting to see whether that derails their title. But I still absolutely think they'll finish in the playoffs. But watch this space. They drew with Witten last weekend, which is a fantastic result for Witten going down there, by the way, and getting a draw. But it just added to, I think Stourbridge actually are probably happy playing away at the moment. Their home form's been a little bit dodgy in the past month or so. I think they'll get through. I think they'll be okay.
Now, you mentioned home form there. That leads me on to the next team, Stafford Rangers. This weekend they're hosting South Shields. The home form has got better.
Yes.
Oh, it's a tough one, this one. They've got to be really on it this weekend, haven't they, against South Shields?
Yeah, but they're improving, aren't they? It's a little bit of deja vu with Stafford, because it feels to me, again, they've had a really good 6 weeks, and I looked at the table, and they're still only, you know, what, 15th or 16th in the league. I know they had a good win against, they beat Sutton, didn't they? So they've gone a little bit higher, but so they're absolutely heading in the right direction. I think he should send Carl McCauley a Christmas card, because since they got absolutely battered by Witten at Marston Road, they've really picked up since then. Tough game, obviously, against South Shields. We don't need to say much about them. We all know what a great season they're having. They're in great form, top of the league, winning every week. I still think this is going to be a really tough game for South Shields, though. They had an epic game, didn't they, against Farsley in the last round, which went to a replay, and they had a brilliant win against Scarborough earlier. That, they had some good wins in the trophy as well as their good wins in the FA Cup. I think it might go to a replay, this one, but I think it's going to be, arguably, of the ties we've previewed, probably might be the pick for me, this one.
I was going to, just to digress slightly, something you mentioned there about Christmas cards. I do imagine that all the managers send each other Christmas cards, but wouldn't it be a good idea to do Secret Santa? I think that'd be quite interesting, yeah. Yes. Stalybridge Celtic against Rushall Olympic. Liam McDonald really has settled the ship, I think, at Rushall in the last couple of weeks. Steve Burside, they continue to blow hot and cold. I mean, that Ramy result, I think, admittedly, Stalybridge might have fielded a weaker team in that one, but it does show where Stalybridge are at the moment, a bit inconsistent.
Very much so, and you can almost kind of, you can cut it in half. If they're playing at Bower Fold, they've massively improved there. They seem to be a little bit more comfortable there. That's where they're picking up the points to start climbing up the league table. They won four of the past six games in the league there. So the fact they're at home this weekend probably makes them ever so slight favourites. But quite right, Rushall won the past three games, including a really good win against Nantwich in the previous round of the FA Trophy. Yes, I know Nantwich would have been have one eye on their game at Stevenage in the FA Cup, but Rushall won't care about that. That was still a great win for them. So two teams that are still a work in progress, still looking to get away from the bottom of the league after slow starts to the season. Because it's at Bower Fold, I think Stalybridge are slight favourites. But yeah, if Rushall can extend their winning run to four games in all competitions, this would be really a confirmation that Liam's having an impact, wouldn't it?
And we're nearly at the end here, listener. There's two fixtures left. Stamford against Drawlsden. Stamford feels like they've had a good season thus far, but they are sitting 12th in the league. But that said, they're only 3 points from the playoffs. It's one of them things in Division 1 South. Speaking of near the playoffs, though, Drawlsden are having a cracking season, aren't they? So this one's
really
intriguing.
I think this is going to be it's not maybe one you think is a standout tie, but I think it's going to be really close. I think real contrasting styles. Stamford really solid defensively, one of the best defensive records in Division 1 South, and also unbeaten at home this season. So it's they've made the Zico a bit of a fortress. But Drawlsden actually have done pretty well on the road this year. They've picked up more points than they usually do away from home. perhaps not quite as free scoring as Dave Pacey's teams have been previously. But like you say, in the conversation to be in the playoffs in Division One South, I think Stamford will contend to be in the playoffs in Division One South, draws in Division One North, of course. I think it's going to be really close. Might go to a replay, and if it does, draws, they'll get through. So yeah, I think it'll be a decent tie, that one.
Now, early in the show, we obviously heard from Jody Bannon, manager at Ashton United. We mentioned that Stafford Rangers against South Shields might be tied around. This has got to be up there. Warrington Town against Ashton.
Yeah, this is my other pick, really, for tie. I hope they both go for it. I hope they both put their strongest teams out. No reason why they shouldn't. Both having a great season. Warrington are traditionally strong at home, and that's been no different since they came into...
How are Warrington going to put their strongest team out? Because they are going through an injury crisis. It's well documented.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have got a good youth set up there at Warrington as well. So, and they want promotion, so...
Well, that's the interesting thing. I hope they do, because I think it'll make for a great tie. And if they don't, I think they'll get knocked out. Simple as that. So, as well as they have done at home, they're playing a team that's already beaten them twice this season. Ashton have the best away record in the Premier Division, by the way. Nobody has picked up as many points as they have away from Hurstcross. So,
I'm writing that stat down for my interview with Jody Bannon that I'm doing after this interview with you, Simo.
Yeah, I don't know whether there's a reason for that. I mean, they're having a great season full stop, but they are brilliant away from home. So if Warrington don't go full strength, they will get knocked out. That is my prediction. But yeah, I think it's going to be a great tie. And Ashton are favourites because they've beaten Warrington twice already this season.
And I'm writing that one down too. Right. Anyway, thank you for that. So, like my little statistician, brilliant stuff. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, a big thank you for joining us this week. Just a quick plug for your work. I don't think I mentioned Witton Albion in all that then, did I?
They haven't got a game this weekend.
Where are you going then?
So, they're having a weekend off. Well, I say they're having a weekend off. I did ask Carl McCauley whether he was going to give the players off a weekend off, and he just laughed and said, no, they'll be running.
Unlucky.
So, unlucky. And that'll teach you for getting knocked out the FA Trophy.
Just a quick plug for you then, and how people can follow you on Twitter and that kind of thing.
Yeah, NorthwichGuardian.co.uk. I will be back on Witton duty when they return to action against Matlock in the league next weekend. In the meantime, I will be on social media at @Simo_on_sport.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian for joining us this week. Also, a special thanks to John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph, James Hayes, of course, from the league, Roger Booth, chairman at Grantham Town, Michael Clegg at Atherton Collieries, Mark Fell at Ramsbottom United, and Jody Bannon at Ashton United. A big thank you for joining us on this week's show. And a big thank you too to you, dear listener, for tuning in. But that's it for this week's show. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from the Evo Stick League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. A big good luck to everyone in FA Trophy action this weekend. But I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.